an absolute classic there from New Order, Blue Monday. One of the men behind that masterpiece is down the line now, Peter Hook. Peter, how you doing, sir?
I was doing all right till I heard Bernard's dulcet tones.
Oh, come on. Is the fight between you two so still so bitter?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's really couldn't be any worse, to be honest.
Oh, dear. Right. I was hoping sort of, you know, someone may have poured oil on the waters and calmed things down. No.
Well, I think, you know, if the tanker drivers go on strike, mate, we've got no chance, let's put it like that. There's not enough oil.
So, you're going your own ways then, right? Because I know they've just confirmed they're going to be playing in Belfast shortly, you know, without you, and you're doing your own thing.
Yeah, they're celebrating the Titanic, aren't they?
Yeah, it's one of the Titanic gigs, that's right, yeah.
Well, I won't wish ill on it then.
Right. although you sound like you'd love to. All right.
Well, but listen, I'm trying to be good, Johnny.
But you've been doing your own stuff for years anyway. The last time I met you, you were doing fairly well with Monaco. So
it isn't a problem, really. It's a business problem, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with our limited company that owns the trademark, New Order.
Yeah.
To my mind, they've handled themselves despicably, very dishonourably and very cowardly. The way they've gone about it, and you know, I mean, in this day and age, you shouldn't have to find out that your group that you've worked for 32 years has reformed by listening to the radio.
That sounds like it could have been handled better.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. But I mean, it's very sad, actually.
Yeah.
Never mind. No. Yeah. So I have been. I mean, the Bernard and I split up in 2006. It doesn't matter what you call it, the two main songwriters of New Order decided not to work together anymore.
Yeah.
So, I was DJing for a long time.
Yeah.
Doing enjoying myself going all around the world, actually. And then I came up with the idea to celebrate Ian Curtis's 30th anniversary, it was.
It's amazing to think that, you know, that it's so long, you know.
I know. You know, the strange thing was is that when you were in New Order, it felt okay not to bother with Joy Division. As soon as New Order split up and I was outside, I thought, why do we never celebrate anything to do with Joy Division? And this was 30 years, you know, we'd never celebrated 1, 15, 20, 25, anything. But it felt right, I must admit, while you were in New Order. Outside of it didn't feel right at all.
Yeah, because I've seen other bands do New Order stuff or Joy Division stuff. So why not you? You know,
I don't. You know what? I think there was a lot to be said for the fact that when Ian died, we all concentrated solely, and I think it stopped you grieving in a funny way, concentrating on New Order. And I mean, I must admit, you know, to change the world with one group is pretty good. To change the world again with another group, as we did with New Order, is pretty fantastic, so I can't complain about that. But I mean, once I was out and I was presented with the opportunity of doing an exhibition in Macclesfield, where Ian's born, Macclesfield Council were going to do a celebration of Joy Division, and it fell through, and that was why I ended up doing it on my own. I couldn't find a singer, which was the internet criticism scared them all off, God bless them. So Rowetta said to me, she said, okay, you're going to have to do it. And I thought, oh no.
Rowetta talked you into doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I tried to get Rowetta to sing all the Joy Division stuff so I could play bass, you see. I mean, I'm in a peculiar position in the, you know, in New Odor, you've got that guy playing my bass lines, right? In The Light, you've got my son playing my bass lines. And I'm the only one who doesn't get to play them. You know, it's actually quite strange.
But you're the mean and moody bass player that everybody, you know, loves, you know.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, but I mean, I must admit that, you know, I was terrified of singing at first. I really was. But I have grown to love it. And I think that Ian's lyrics and his vocal lines, and especially with Unknown Pleasures that we're doing with you, is so aggressive and so confident and so wonderfully sublime. His lyrical messages that I really do enjoy, and I never thought I'd say that, enjoy singing.
Are you really looking at the songs through new eyes or new ears, basically, because
Definitely.
You're going to have to sing them, yeah?
I can tell you with no word of a lie, mate, when I came to listen to celebrate Ian's 30th anniversary of his life, as I like to call it, it was the first time I'd listened to Unknown Pleasures properly in 30 years. I must admit that it was quite humbling because I realised what a fantastic job Martin Hannett had done on the production. I mean, you know, Bernard and I were only 22, 21 even, when we wrote it. And the thing is that we wanted it to sound like the Sex Pistols, the Clash. We just wanted it to rip your head off, you know. And even though we knew the songs were different to the Sex Pistols and the Clash, we still wanted that anger and aggression really up front. And Martin gave it such a wonderful, dreamlike ambience, and it's his production that without a shadow of a doubt has enabled it to last 30 years.
Yeah,
and still sound as great today as it as, it
as
did
you
then,
know, there aren't many albums that you're going to really want to return to after 30 years, because a lot of them are of the time, they date, and everybody moves on and forgets about them. But this is what, and you're going to play Unknown Pleasures in its entirety. Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's odd, oddly enough, when I came to do it, I was sort of searching for a concept. You know, I mean, it didn't feel right, me doing what I was doing. If I was just playing a set, it would have felt like a tribute band.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like Joy Revision or Joyce Davidson, all those bands that do it. And I just really couldn't get my head around. I mean, this is what sort of frightens me about the New Order. You know, they've reformed, and to me, they're a tribute band. The New Order. And it's quite an odd situation that I was in, and I must admit it was Bobby Gillespie that gave me the idea when he was talking about doing Screamadelica, you know, in full.
Yeah, he did that in Belfast. Last year, it was great.
Yeah, he said it told such a story, and there were songs on it that they ignored as a group. And I thought, oh my God, that's just like Joy Division. And I must admit that the LPs, when you play them, when you play Unknown Pleasures and Closer, do make perfect sense played as a record. And the what we do is chronologically we play the other stuff. So we start off with the first record of Joy Divisions, which was at a later date. Then we do the Ideal for Living EP, then the Factory Sampler, and then Unknown Pleasures.
Brilliant.
And then finish off with the singles, because as a group we didn't put singles on the LP, so it's a delight, really.
Yeah, it was always a value for money exercise, that's right.
Well, I mean, we desperately wanted to treat people as we wanted to be treated, and we felt that it was a bit of a cop-out where the way that people put singles, it's amazing how wonderfully naive and idealistic you could be at that age, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's like a band has three or four hit singles, sticks them on what they call their debut album, and there's only another couple of tracks on there, you know?
Yeah, it's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's very sad, I must admit, that, you know, for a lot of youngsters, and a lot of youngsters come to see the Joy Division stuff, which is a great compliment, I must admit. I thought it'd be full of fat old blokes like me with grey hair. But no, you know, it's a very, very good mix right across the age range. So it shows that your music still does appeal
to
young people.
The texts and emails that we've had when I said I was going to be speaking to you, I know some of them are regulars. And, you know, these kids would, I'm saying kids, they'd be in their early 20s kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a hell of a compliment to our songwriting power, without a doubt.
Yeah, well, it's the stuff of legend, you know, really. So you, Peter Hook and the Light in the Spring and Air Break on the 9th of June, that's going to be an absolute cracker.
It's a nice small venue, so it's going to be nice and intimate and powerful, and I must admit, it's one of the things that I didn't realise how much I missed, that intimacy.
Yeah. It's brilliant. You can see the whites of their eyes, mate. They're right up front, you know.
Well, you're very lucky there, then, aren't you? You're getting me and them within like a week of each other, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. So you'll not be sharing flights over then, no?
No, me and Bernard won't be sharing a room. No, I'm afraid not.
Well, listen, Peter, it's great to catch up with you again, mate. Good luck. The gig's on the 9th
of June. Pleasure, Johnny.
And it'll be
say hello on the night. You can tell me if I've done the right thing.
Oh, listen, I'll be down the front, mate. Okay. Thanks.
Cool.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Peter Hook. The gig is in the Spring and Air Break, 9th of June. It's going to be immense. It really is.